and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keys.
Medevac MedService 056 Northeast Tower. Contact Philly 123.8.
That's air traffic controllers trying to contact a medical transport flight that crashed last night in a Philadelphia neighborhood, sparking fires and fear. Six people aboard the plane, including a child with a medical condition, were killed, and at least one person died in a car on the ground. First responders are searching for others.
The plane came crashing down here at Cottman Avenue and Roosevelt Boulevard between a shopping center and a neighborhood. There are burned cars on the road, pieces of the plane scattered all over. There were the victims who were killed, and then Mayor Sherelle Parker says at least 19 others were injured.
This is not etched in stone. The investigation is ongoing.
The crash site is 4 to 6 blocks. Police have been going door to door to check on people, and City Managing Director Adam Teal has been urging residents to call police if someone they know is unaccounted for.
A lot of unknowns about who was where on the streets of this neighborhood last night at the time of impact.
Tim Jimenez for CBS News, Philadelphia.
CBS News has learned that relatives of some of the 67 people killed in that mid-air collision near Ronald Reagan National Airport are being brought there tomorrow, where the wreckage of the aircraft is visible. Investigators are combing through flight recorder data from the helicopter and commercial jet, trying to find a cause. NTSB board member Todd Inman.
Obviously, we'll be looking at not only staffing that day, but progressively staffing. How many people, what job functions they were doing, were they being combined, were they not? What was the weather outside? What was the number of landings?
President Trump is set to make good on threats to impose tariffs on the three largest U.S. trading partners, China, Mexico, and Canada. Some business analysts warn of consequences for American consumers, and economics professor Brett House says.
The Canadians have indicated that the first round of retaliatory tariffs would be targeted at things that are not essential to Canadians.
The U.S. military has conducted airstrikes against ISIS in Somalia, the first in the African nation during President Trump's second term. The BBC's Gurvinda Gill.
Donald Trump says he's ordered airstrikes against what he called a senior ISIS attack planner and the people he had recruited and led in Somalia. Mr. Trump said many terrorists were killed in the attack, which also destroyed the caves they lived in.
In Gaza.
Thank you, Trump! Thank you! He's coming back home!
Joy over the release of several hostages, including Ofer Calderon and Kevin Siegel, both of whom had been held for 484 days, thanks to an Israeli Hamas ceasefire. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The U.S. Forest Service will not be following through with the National Old Growth Amendment, which would have protected some of Wisconsin's iconic old growth trees. Here's Isabel Charlet.
The amendment was the result of a Biden administration order to tally old-growth forests on federal lands and make a plan to protect them from climate-based threats. For Brenna Bell, forest climate manager with 350 PDX, pulling the plug may have been for the best. While acknowledging the amendment offered protections, Bell says there were too many loopholes.
Old trees still would have been locked, except people might have believed that it was protected. So not having it, and so people don't have that false sense of protection, might be a good thing.
The amendment would have prohibited commercial logging on about 25 million acres of old growth forests. Bell adds since the amendment would have most likely been repealed under the Trump administration, withdrawing now allows for the possibility of stronger legislation down the road. She explains federal timber targets drive logging on national forest land, pushing forests to meet volume quotas. While most logged trees are smaller second growth, she adds, there's always pressure to cut large trees to meet targets faster. Bell suggests eliminating timber targets to better protect old growth forests.
If we could just make it so trees could be logged, A, to meet the local timber demand, or B, to have restoration purposes, but not because of some arbitrary target that is set in Washington, D.C., and then just distributed to all of the different forests.
The Trump administration will likely increase timber targets, says Bell, regardless if there is local demand. I'm Isabel Charlet. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some snow with a high near 26. It'll be breezy out of the southeast. Tonight, snow maybe mixed with freezing rain, temps around 30. Chance of sprinkles on your Sunday, otherwise mostly cloudy, a high of 42. Monday, chance of snow and 24.
It's 24 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin-based comedian Eli Pills and Nightlight frequent flyer, musician, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to this week's edition of the Civic Media Spotlight. We're kicking things off with the Maggie Dawn Show, and this week she welcomed on Harry Dunn, a former Capitol Police officer who was there on January 6th.
What's up, everybody? My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, folks, the hits, they just keep on coming every day. A new dumpster fire or fires, as it may be, from the Trump administration. I'm going to get to all of that this hour. The freeze on funding as issued by the Office of Management and Budget, the firing of assistant U.S. attorneys that worked on the Trump prosecutions, the internal investigations in the Department of Justice. You want to know what a witch hunt is? Now we've got one. But before we get to all of that, I am very privileged and humbled to be joined by former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn. You know him. You've seen him on the J6 committee testifying with fortitude of both strength and courage in the face of the MAGAverse, I guess, would be a way to put it. And now speaking out both against the January 6th pardons that Donald Trump provided, shocking even some conservatives, but also speaking out against those current candidates for elected office, like Judge Brad Schimel here in the state of Wisconsin, who refused to acknowledge what actually went down on January 6th, what we witnessed with our own eyes, but what Officer Dunn himself experienced that day. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Harry. It's a real pleasure.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here with you. Hey, listeners, how y'all doing?
I hope they're doing well, and we're going to be made smarter and more engaged by you being here with all of us today, Harry.
Yeah.
What brought you to Milwaukee and Madison today? You were in Milwaukee earlier. You just left the Capitol Rotunda. Yeah. Why were you here?
The cheese curds.
Oh, damn straight. Of course not. Little custard and cheese curds for sure, my friend.
No, listen, you know, this is my fourth time here in the States. Seems like every time something happens in Wisconsin or there's an election of any kind, it always makes national news.
Yeah.
It's always happening here. I believe in public service. I believe in standing up and speaking out against what happened on January 6th, demanding accountability for not just the people who attacked officers, but the people responsible for it. It's unfortunate. We don't get that anymore. We don't get accountability. Especially now that Donald Trump has pardoned the over 1,500 individuals, many of whom violently assaulted law enforcement officers in the most brutal way. why am I in Wisconsin? I believe that anybody that speaks of January 6th any other way than it was a attack on our democracy, it was the attack on law enforcement. If you don't speak on it any other way, I feel like it's my job to push back against you and tell you what it was. Especially when that person happens to be seeking office.
Yes.
And it's public office of the people. And like you just said, the Judge Schimmel, he had the opportunity to forcefully condemn Donald Trump's pardons of these rioters, even the ones that brutally assaulted police officers. It appears he is attempting to play both sides.
Yes.
Saying that if you assaulted police officers, then you need to be in jail, but also saying he supports Donald Trump's decision to pardon them. You can't play both sides on this. And this isn't about politics. I couldn't tell you Judge Simmel's stance on any other issue except January 6th and where he stands on the pardons. And it's personal to me. I was there. My coworkers were beaten. Four died of suicide afterwards. Yes. And the moral injuries just continue to pile on and pile up. And this was another one. So anytime I have an opportunity to push back, I will.
I respect that so much, and I'm appreciative for your clarity on this. This is a moral injury on top of the physical injuries and the psychological damage that those who assaulted police on that day committed. It is a moral ongoing injury that we all suffer as Wisconsinites and Americans. One of the things that bothers me about Judge Schimmel's stance on this, the talking out of his both sides of the mouth, is that Judge Schimmel used to serve as this state's highest enforcement officer and had the audacity to give out honor coins to people with the saying kicking butt every day. Oh, well, except if you assault police officers in the name of Donald Trump. Yeah. That is not how KAED works.
It's not. And it's like I said, that's really like I said, it's unfortunate. And I don't know the exact number, you know, but the polling on the pardoning of these, it was polling at 80% people not approve or opposed to this. So taking a stance to saying this is wrong, period, full stop, shouldn't be hard. Now, if he can't make that easy decision, then how is he going to serve in the Supreme Court and represent the people of Wisconsin's best interest if he can't even acknowledge the fact that the pardoning of those individuals was wrong?
The most fundamental, when I think about both law enforcement and judicial officers, and I have served as one in public service, you have served as one in public service, the test of someone that works in this capacity is not whether we investigate and prosecute the little guys. People want to talk about two tiers. I'll tell you what the two tiers are. Little guys and people that don't have connections and you know, pull and money, and those that do. The test is always not can we go after little guys. The test is what do we do when it is the powerful, the powerful whom we may politically be more inclined to support. That is where rubber meets the road for law enforcement and folks that work in government in these capacities. Harry, I want to ask you a question because we were talking a little bit before we got on air here. I got just a flood of text messages last night when news of the firing of these frontline career civil servant law enforcement prosecutors in the federal government were fired. I didn't sleep well. I haven't been sleeping well. How are you sleeping, sir?
Not well.
Yeah.
Not long.
What keeps you up? Like what conjures up in your mind as we both, I think, you know, are trying to sleep?
I think it's the Celsius energy drinks that keep me awake.
Those are delicious. They are not a sponsor, but
they're
call
not
me.
A sponsor. Yeah, no, but what keeps me up is they're attempting and succeeding at rewriting what happened that day, and that goes to the firing of the AUSAs. These people aren't, they want, like, look, even before that happened, even before Donald Trump assumed office on the 20th, they were trying to suppress the Jack Smith report from being released. Right. So they're doing everything they can to erase what happened on January 6th, not just erase it, but rewrite it with their own narrative by creating these investigations to investigate the investigators. Now, these people are career civil servants.
And prosecutors. That's they it. Are law enforcement professionals.
They are law enforcement professionals. And going after them, let's be clear. Like, look this up. Anybody that wants to call BS on this, I believe that the, Merrick Garland's Justice Department prosecuted more prominent Democrats than they did. They prosecuted Hunter Biden.
Yes.
Like, I mean, they
had a special counsel investigate Joe Biden over documents
Correct.
That he retained allegedly after he was vice president.
While he is the sitting president.
Correct.
So Biden's DOJ
investigated the president.
It's crazy. Let's be clear. Like, these individuals, they're attempting and succeeding to rewrite this. And that's what gives me this motivation to keep going. It's personal to me.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I appreciate everybody that says I'm making a difference. You know what? I receive that. I thank you. I don't care if I was talking to a wall.
Right.
Or one person, but I am going to continue speaking out. And I'm glad that it appears to be making a difference. But this is a travesty. And we can't let them get away with it. And everybody would say they are getting away with it. They are. There's an election here in April. There's governor races all across the country in 2025.
Yes.
There are midterms in 2026. And yes, there's a presidential election in 2028. And we can't focus on Donald Trump has won. We have to figure out how can we win the next one.
Yes.
And it starts now, not the day before the election.
As I watch what I'm just going to call mealy-mouthed, message-managed mumbo jumbo from Democrats and news outlets alike, all I can say is someone who has served on the front line in 2020 doing this work, thank you for speaking truth. I too would be standing next to you shouting at the wall, because if we're shouting the truth and trying to engage with the truth, I think that does speak to a different kind of moral clarity.
Yeah.
This is what we witnessed. Let us bear witness together. Let us listen to folks like yourself, Harry, that can bear witness to that. What is different now? We've been speaking about the firing of the AUSAs. To me, you take the firings plus the pardons, and what you have given permission to is something that is very scary in this country. What do you think the combined implications of these events are? Do you think that this is a green light to, frankly, roving mobs of people to do whatever they damn please as long as it serves Donald Trump?
Yes. Simply put, yes. Well, think about, they went to the Capitol on January 6th. They stormed the Capitol. They assaulted officers. They were emboldened to do so because Donald Trump told them to. Donald Trump told them to do this. Donald Trump pardoned them after they did that. And you know what? What's to say? They're emboldened now.
Yes.
Stand back and stand by. He meant that. He meant it. He literally has them on standby for whenever he would need them. And that's the kind of message that it sends. Also, the Senate, the House of Representatives, and this is why it's everybody's job. We have to send people to Congress. They're supposed to be checks and balances in government. The House and the Senate and the executive branch. We have to make sure we're electing the people that will stand up and push back against that. And not that they will go to Congress a la Ron Johnson and go to the Senate to serve the people of Wisconsin and not be a servant to Donald Trump.
Right.
You are responsible for the people of Wisconsin.
All of them.
All of them. Not just the ones who voted for Donald Trump, but everybody.
We got to take care of a tiny bit of business. I know I want to hear more from Harry. Specifically, I'm going to ask him how we tell going forward the difference between rhetoric and reality and what comes next. Stay tuned. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
As of 9 a.m. this morning, our EV trucking company is officially in operation.
Andrew's zero-emission trucks are driving the transportation category forward.
We'll make driving safer, easier, and less stressful.
Now our technology needs to keep up with demand.
He needs to put pedal to the metal on hiring more software engineers.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppables, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the Todd Alba Show. And every week on Wednesday, he is joined by Pat Kreitlow and Trygve Olsen. The trio chat about a new clip of a hot mic comment by Brad Schimmel, former attorney general and candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, calling for another bloody revolution.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with the outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, January 29th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is... Very nice. Welcome into the show, everybody. Glad to have you along. It is a sunny day here in Madtown, better known as Madison. But we'll begin here at home with the Supreme Court race, Brad Schimmel versus Susan Crawford, coming up this spring, April 1st. No joke, as Joe Biden mugs said. I'm not joking around. And we're never joking around when we have our friend, our colleague from Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8. Patrick Kreitlow joins us from the breezy and beautiful banks of Lake Wissota, and Trygve Olsen from the breezy and beautiful banks of the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. Patrick, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's a sunny, lovely day here up north.
And Trygve, how are things out east, as they say? You made it back. Trygve was stuck. I felt so bad for him. He was stuck in Belize.
Oh, I was.
Oh.
But I was being held captive. I couldn't get back in the country. There were no flights.
But you're here now. You're here now, and that's fantastic, guys. It's been busy, to say the very least, and interesting, I guess, to some degree. First week plus of Trump 2.0. But I want to kind of bring it back here to Wisconsin because, again, as Pat and I talked about on his show this morning, my opinion is there's a lot more we could do in Wisconsin than there is in D.C. No offense, Trygve, out there in D.C. But
absolutely taken.
All right. Very good. Very good. This was from, what was it, Zommers? Heartland, who had the cut here. I'll make sure I give them credit. Heartland,
yes,
News
Heartland
Service.
Signal.
Heartland Signal. Thank you very much. I was the first one to find this. I think this is really interesting. I'm going to play it and then come back, get Pat and Trygve's take on this. This is from last year at a Republican Party of Adams County. I've been to Adams County. Republican Party of Adams County meet and greet from last July. And now conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel was there, was caught on an open mic or something, recording device, talking about what it's going to take to get this country back on track. And you'll listen to his own words, but it sure seems to me like he's open to actual physical violence. Here's Brad Schimmel from last summer.
If you look at the history of the world, if the history of the world is as wide as I can spread my arms, that's it, all of it. The part that is freedom is barely a gap. It's barely a spark plug gap between my fingers, right? And almost all of that history of freedom in this world has been us, what we've done in America. There's other places that have had some degrees of freedom, but nothing like here. If we let this go, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And you know what? To get it back, there has to be another bloody revolution. Mm-hmm. Because the socialists won't give it up. They won't walk away. And why on earth would these people be be favoring socialism. Why? They know it won't work. We know the answer.
Power.
Follow the money.
The money and the power, right? Mm-hmm. And they, because with socialism, there's a handful of people who have all the money and all the power, and everybody else is screwed. Mm-hmm. These people, the Obamas, they all know which side of that they're on. They know.
I wanted to play the full cut so that nobody can say, oh, you know, you chop that up to make it sound a certain way. The quote from Schimmel is, quote, there has to be another bloody revolution, unquote. Pat Kreitlow.
All right, let's try to take this in order. Number one, Brad Schimmel, get over yourself. All right, this whole thing of, oh, America has been the spark plug gap of freedom. I'm so tired of hearing this. There's freedom throughout the world. A lot of it American soldiers fought and died for so that people around the world could have freedom. Don't make it sound like America is like the only one that's ever had freedom in human history, okay? Now you're waving the flag and wrapping yourself up in it for your own political aims. This whole thing of the socialists won't give it up. The moment anybody uses socialist, Marxist, whatever, you've lost me. Because you've proven that you would have been a B student at best in political science of understanding what socialism or Marxism really is. Again, you're just throwing out words. Save yourself the trouble. Just go.
Pat, I want to follow up on, I thought you brought up something really, really good. And that is that in this cut from the Republican Party of Adams County meeting from last July that was released by Heartland Signal yesterday, that Brad Schimmel talks about, you know, describing socialism in a small group of people with all the power and money and everyone else is screwed. But that actually describes the oligarchy, to your point, which is actually happening now on the Republican, the MAGA side.
The broligarchy with a combined net personal worth of $1 trillion sitting there in the front row of Trump's inauguration. He does not get to I don't even want to hear the words George Soros popping out of his mouth, because that's like his billions or whatever it is he's got is just a speck compared to Elon. But then add Elon and Zuckerberg and then add Bezos and then add everybody else that was in there. Please don't even pretend to lecture about money and power after you see how the broligarchy is unfolding and the way they're trying to freeze or cut so much federal spending in order to give these guys another massive tax break.
I want to get back to Brad Schimmel, former top cop, as they say, state attorney general in Wisconsin. Guy is supposed to uphold the law. He was quoted, of course, in the Wisconsin Examiner and on Vicki McKenna's conservative talk show in Wisconsin radio show, saying that he thought that the January 6th insurrectionists got a raw deal and was supporting them and supporting Trump giving them a pardon on January 6th. That seems to have touched a nerve, because we called him out when I had that show a couple weeks ago. We normally get, I don't know, numbers. How many comments do we get on our Facebook live stream? You know, maybe 5, 10, something like that.
Somewhere around there.
So far, 150 and counting, and about 145 of those are all negative from people I've never heard of defending Schimmel and attacking me. Again, Pat and Trigvy, it seems as though we've struck a nerve here. The Schimmel people don't want us talking about that Brad Schimmel does not back the blue, and in fact, backs January 6th insurrectionists.
Who
were convicted of crimes. They're criminals.
Right. I mean, and come on. Bots can have opinions too, right? Because the broligarchy can unleash a torrent of bots. Look at the wasteland that used to be Twitter, for example. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yes, it clearly does strike a nerve, and it gets them off their message. They want their message to be law and order, just not that law and order for these guys back here. And they're going to try to scare people as they do every year. There will be, I promise you, a TV ad with some kind of a scary black man in there, and that Judge Susan Crawford said blah, blah, blah. This is their playbook, and I would like to think that more voters are seeing through it.
Yeah,
likely that they'll go the race way, though, Pat. I think it gets to an important point. Judge Crawford needs to come out right now and say, oop, I'll get it on the other side.
Talk about a tease. It's a placeholder. I love it. What does Judge Crawford need to say? Trigvy will tell us on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Wednesday with Kreitlow and Olson on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from noon till 2. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Authorities say at least one person on the ground was killed and 19 were injured when a medical transport jet crashed into a Philadelphia neighborhood last night. All six people on the plane, including a young girl, died. Shalina Broadster lives nearby.
Friends started sending me videos of the aftermath, and it was very horrific. I saw bodies dismembered, like right next to the Dunkin' Donuts. There's a someone sent me a video of a man who was literally on fire.
Today is the day President Trump has threatened to impose tariffs on imports from Mexico, Canada, and China. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says they could boost inflation.
If the importing company passes along that fee to the customer, that could raise prices.
The Democratic National Committee has elected Ken Martin as its new chairman.
The fight right now is against Donald Trump and the billionaires who bought this country.
Martin chairs Minnesota's arm of the party. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all
on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield. This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
We got something going here in Madison. Power play goal, Simon Tassie. 2-1 Wisconsin. Stops one and another again to his left. He scores. Oh, he ripped that one over the glove hand. William Grandma, like an octopus in a broom closet.
We are America's college hockey capital.
The relentless resilience.
Badger Hockey is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. And by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show.
Hockey fans from Mariucci Arena in Minneapolis, welcome to Wisconsin Badger Hockey. Tonight, the Badgers take on the fourth-ranked Minnesota Golden Gophers in the final game of a two-game weekend series. Kelly Freeman is our producer at our Learfield studios in Jefferson City, Missouri. From UW Athletic Brand Communications, Paul Capobianco to my left. I'm Brian Posick. Well, last night here at Mariucci Arena, the Badgers had a chance to get to 500 for the first time since the opening weekend of the regular season and jumped out to a great start, leading 2-0. But the Gophers scored five unanswered and won the hockey game 5-2. For the fifth straight season, Minnesota's won 20 games, 26-3 under head coach Bob Motzko, 11-4-2 in the Big Ten, second place behind league-leading Michigan State. Meanwhile, Mike Hastings' Badgers fell to 11-13-3, 6-10-1 in the league. The good news is Penn State beat Michigan, so Wisconsin still has sole possession of fourth place, and a top-four finish means home ice in the first round of the conference playoffs. Paul, you're on the road. You're playing one of the best teams in the country, your arch rival, and you jump out to a 2-0 lead in the first period. Really can't get much better than that, can it?
Oh, no, it was pretty much a perfect start for Wisconsin. It was something they had focused on coming in, too, after last weekend against Michigan. Perfect start. Badgers, it wasn't even just 2-0. The Badgers were playing really well. They were hemming Minnesota in their own end for most of the first period, just going to work, getting the pucks around, forcing turnovers on the Gopher defensemen. You know, we've seen a couple games earlier this year against good teams, Michigan State and Michigan, where the Badgers jumped out to leads and took it the whole way, 60 minutes, and those are a couple 4-0 shutouts. Last night, unfortunately, after the first period, Minnesota found a way out of that. Badgers never really got back to that game, and the Gophers kind of took it from there. Although it was 2-2 at the start of the third period, the theme of the year is the Badgers are always in it at the end of the game, or yeah, the third period, and it was Minnesota that made the plays at the end to kind of take it from there. Their first line was pretty incredible last night. They produced, I think, 12 points and five goals or whatever it was last night, and they were impressive, right? And they were obviously the difference in the result.
Yeah, their top line of freshman Brody Ziemer, centerman Eric Paulson, and right winger Jimmy Snuggerud, 5 goals, 12 points last night in 3 games against the Badgers this season. Those three have 8 goals and 21 points. Jimmy Snuggerud is on a roll. He's now the nation's leading point getter. He's also second, make that third in the country in goals scored with 20. He's got 41 points. He scored a goal in 6 straight. He has 13 goals in his last 13 games. He's got 4 goals and 8 points against Wisconsin this season. They were the difference in the game last night. And when Snuggerud scored in the second period, Snipe one past Tommy Scarfoni, a very agitated, quiet Gopher crowd really came to life. And that seemed to spark Minnesota, don't you think?
Oh, that was definitely the turning point in the game last night. There was a couple of moments where it could have happened earlier. Tommy Scarfoni made a huge save and it was 2-0. But when Snuggerud came down and sniped the far corner, the place lit up. Their team started with a little bit more energy and kind of, unfortunately for the Badgers, turned the game around. And then he had another goal later on that was pretty nice too, on a little redirect on the rush that was looked like effortless and just smooth right into the net past Tommy Scarfoni on a big odd man rush.
Yeah. Some may wonder, how is Wisconsin in fourth place all by itself in the Big Ten with a 6-10-1 record? It's because it's garnered at least 1 point in every Big Ten series. So this is a big game here tonight.
Oh, for sure it is. I mean, again, you mentioned Penn State helped the Badgers last night by also beating Michigan. Kept the Badgers 2 points up on the Wolverines for the final home playoff spot. The Badgers have gone every single series this year in the Big Ten play. They've played an overtime game, which has locked in a point for them in a series. And obviously the Badgers would love minimum a point and would love to get a win here, help with the standings, help with NCAA hopes, and just get that feeling you're playing a really good team and you can beat a really good team in their home barn. That would be great for confidence going forward, too.
Yeah, since Wisconsin swept the Gophers in this building last season in November, the Gophers are 4-0-1. Against the Badgers. We'll see if Wisconsin can get at least 1 point, hoping for a split on the road against the Golden Gophers. And we'll hear from head coach Mike Hastings when we come back. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing every day. As a business owner, you've got dozens of choices on how to spread your message. At Civic Media, our goal is to help you unclutter that landscape. For 100 years, radio has successfully delivered customers to the doors of local businesses because we're local too. Local news, local topics, and local people that care about the places we broadcast. That gives your message credibility, and that's key when it comes to getting your message in the ears of the right people. Learn more about how this Civic Media station can help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us and click on sponsorship. From right here in our town to across the entire state of Wisconsin, we'll get the right message to the right people at the right time. And you'll be surprised how effective and budget-friendly radio advertising can be. Again, log on to civicmedia.com and click on sponsorship. We'll have a talk and help you craft the message that works for the people that you want to reach.
The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Blue Monday has been a thing ever since a British psychologist came up with it 20 years ago.
Today is a day to rewrite the lyrics to Blue Christmas.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'll have a Blue Monday when it's cold.
Nice, nice. That is my new favorite thing.
Yes.
Right there. That was awesome.
See you in the bumpers.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
By NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here at Mariucci Arena in Minneapolis, series finale tonight, the Wisconsin Badgers and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Wisconsin coach Mike Hastings with us here. Gophers rallied last night for a 5-2 victory. Mike, you're up 2-0 and playing really well. So what were you doing well, and then what happened there when things changed?
I thought, you know, effort, puck management, being hard, confident in our decisions with the puck. I thought we had a really good first period when we did turn it over. I thought we got back in numbers and we didn't spend a lot of energy in our zone. Also, I thought Scarfoni made a couple of really good saves in the first period. So we get out with our best 20 and then come out in the second period. One thing we talked about all week, you and I had talked about pregame, is just not creating their offense through turnovers. And I thought they dialed it up. We didn't manage it as well as we should. So I thought it was a horse apiece going into the third period, and they found a way to get the third one.
What really got the crowd going, and I think the Gophers going, was Jimmy Snuggerud shot down the right wing. He is one of the best in the country. I mean, three straight 20-goal seasons for a college hockey player, that doesn't happen very often. But you look at the line of Snuggerud and Zimmer and Paulson. They account for 5 goals, 12 points last night. How do you counter that? How do you contain that? How do you defend that?
Well, just a little bit what I mentioned there is they're good enough creating their own offense. Mm-hmm. We don't need to give it to them and give them numbers. And that was the thing last night. The second period, I think we gave up 4 or 5 outnumbered opportunities. They're good enough that when you're playing 5-on-5, you've got to be on your toes defending, let alone when they've got numerical advantages. So that's a painful learning experience. You understand it, and guys just have to be aware when they're on the rink that we're not, again, getting ourselves in position where we're outnumbered, and then when we do get into our zone, defend.
Is it when it comes to puck management and coughing it up, sometimes they're just mistakes. Mistakes happen in the game of hockey, but it's also there are mistakes you can prevent, too, right, by reading the play. Right?
Yeah, and if you look at some of the transitional pieces last night, we had offensive possession, you know, at hash marks in the offensive zone. And when you look at the 2 goals that end up being scored for us in the first period, you know, Tassie kicks it up top, goes to the paint. Hensler does a great job at funneling a puck to the net. Tass standing there in a confrontation with their defenseman and tips one home. Then the second one, right off a back wall, possession. You know, we throw it from the half wall to below the goal line behind the net, and Morrissey takes it right to the net, and Mosley, you know, it chips in some garbage there and gets us two. And so our management in those 50-50 areas, whether it's in the neutral zone by the blue lines, right, or whether it's in the offensive zone from the hash marks to the back wall, I think the more we play in that area, the better we're going to be.
Badgers and the Gophers, more with Mike Hastings in a moment. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance, like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Which schools will take home the prestigious Learfield Directors Cup as the top college athletic programs for the 2024-25 college athletic season? You can follow the standings of your favorite team or alma mater at L Directors Cup on Twitter and online at TheDirectorsCup.com. Trophies will be awarded in June 2025 to the winning institutions in all college sports divisions. Learfield Directors Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Badgers and Gophers coming up here in just a bit. Mike Hastings is with us. Mike, I know all week during practice, Minnesota has a tendency, their goaltenders, to leave the pucks out in front of the net, and I'm not sure the Gophers are that good at clearing out of there. They're offensive-minded defensemen. It seems like they just want to get the puck and go. And you created two goals in that general area, in tight. Did you get to the hole as much as you wanted to last night?
We did over the first half of the game. We had opportunities to extend that 2-3 and didn't because we were doing those things. Guy that comes to mind right away is Kukin, and he had a couple on the doorstep. And when we're doing that, we're a much better team, not only with it or without it, because even if it goes the other direction, we're in front of the puck, and they've got to come through us in layers. When we start cheating it a little bit and play on the outside and end up below the goal line, that's when, as what you just mentioned, their D are really good at is hopping up into the play, and they come at you with numbers. So, again, harder tonight. Going to have as good start as we had last night and then maintain it.
And Tommy Scarfone made a couple of big saves in the first, as you had mentioned. And you look at his numbers, they've been off here a little bit. I know he sat with Kevin Murdoch today at breakfast and kind of going over things. Tommy's very critical of himself and wants to do the best he can for this hockey.
Yeah, and really what you just said, you know, they're the highest scoring team in college hockey. They're good. And so you need your goaltender to make some saves, and he's for us to be able to win in their building. He's going to have to make a couple that he shouldn't. And then we've got to give him a little bit more run support. I liked our first period. I thought, again, when we possessed pucks and made them defend, we were a better version of ourselves. We just got to do a better job of when we need to put pucks into areas, put it behind them and not in front of them.
It's head coach Mike Hastings, Wisconsin and Minnesota right around the corner. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this Civic Media station. You're one of thousands of people tuned in right now, whether on the radio, the app, the podcast, or stream. Audio is the number one source of information and entertainment among adults in the U.S. If you own a business or you're in charge of growing a business, this is a key fact, and you should know how it can work for you. That's where we come in. At Civic Media, our local radio stations influence local people, the same people who shop and buy at your place. Now we also reach those same customers wherever they are in the digital world as well. From podcasts to streaming to apps, laptops, and smartphones, our digital advertising capabilities ensure that we deliver the right message to the right people at the right time. And with our state-of-the-art measurement systems, we can prove it. Schedule a short meeting to learn how we can partner locally to help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us. Click on sponsorship. You'll hear back within 24 hours.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear?
The answer is coming up. The original Badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Forrester and the Ad Council.
Back here at Mariucci Arena, a gold out today. The students, and they have a very fine student section here at the University of Minnesota, all given free yellow T-shirts with the maroon gophers across the chest, and they've handed out yellow pom-poms to all the fans that will be here. Last night, there were 10,700-plus, the third-largest crowd in Mariucci history. They're expecting even more here tonight. So it's a sold-out, gold-out at Mariucci Arena. Although the uniforms they're wearing look more mustardy color, don't they, Paul?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, come on. You're a color commentator. Help me out here.
Well, I try not to go to the whole condiment thing, Brian, but you're going to make me do it, aren't you? It's ketchup versus mustard again tonight.
And I like ketchup better than mustard.
I like both, but tonight for sure, if I had a choice, if I was getting a hot dog, it'd be nothing but ketchup.
Wisconsin, Minnesota. Last night, the Gophers rallied for a 5-2 win. We talked about their top line of Snuggerud and Paulson and Zimmer, but one guy you have to give credit to is Liam Soulier, their goaltender, the transfer from Penn State, stopped 33 of 35 shots last night. He will make his second straight start tonight. This is the first time this season that Bob Motzko is giving one of his goaltenders back-to-back starts in a series. He's been good against Wisconsin in his career, and he was making some stops last night. Give him credit, right?
Yeah, he looked pretty confident out there. He was up on top of his crease. He was very confident with his glove and making saves, just calmly putting stuff into corners, things like that that you'd like to see in a goaltender. And the Badgers did have success around when they had the puck around him in front of, got screens in front of him, got a puck around his feet. So the Badgers, again, they'll look to do that again. And their pucks in front of the net. It seemed like there was space in front of the goal,
yeah,
where Wisconsin got a couple of chances, some maybe even too close, but you're going to want to test him for sure. He hasn't had this opportunity to play back-to-back. Obviously, he's done it before at Penn State. It's not like it's brand new to him, but it's a new experience for him this year.
For sure, and here at Mariucci Arena, Gophers give up 2.5 goals per game. The Badgers average 3.2 or so. Just getting to 3 last night was difficult for Wisconsin. 3 may be enough here tonight. And while Soulier played well last night, Tommy Scarfone stopped 23 of 27 shots. And Scarfone, over his last 7 starts, has allowed 24 goals with an .871 save percentage. Usually it's get off to a good start, and one goalie has to be better than the other. And maybe it'll be Tommy tonight against Liam Soulier. We'll check the rest of the Big Ten and an update from Duluth, where the top-ranked Wisconsin women were down against the Bulldogs. So back in a moment. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The countdown to savings is on at Clary Building Corp. Get the best prices of the year right now at any Clary location, or contact us for a free consultation on the building you have been dreaming about. Clary has a building for every stage of your life. Visit clarybuilding.com today to see all of the amazing building options we offer. Don't let the clock run out for big savings.
Badgers are born brave. They're not afraid to face a tough opponent or take on the impossible. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our team of doctors take on cancer with that same Badger stamina. Where others step back, we step up, researching, treating, and defeating even the most complex cancers, making us the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the state. So now, from stadium to hospital, you can count on Wisconsin and UW Health to fight and win. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not to Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist. End the friendship. Or choose chill because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, Badger fans. You want your family to be warm and comfortable during the brutal Wisconsin winters, right? That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryan Heating and Cooling, who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryan systems. And ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Well, while the Badger men wrapping up their series in Minneapolis against Minnesota, the top-ranked Badger women are wrapping up their series in Duluth against the UMD Bulldogs. Wisconsin was down 1-0 early in the third, but Layla Edwards scored her 26th of the year, so the Badgers even. And just a moment ago, UMD took a penalty, so Wisconsin's on a power play. The Badgers won last night 2-1 in overtime. Kirsten Sims got the game winner. Mark Johnson's club is 26-1-2. And we'll host Minnesota next Saturday at 2 o'clock and then Senior Day next Sunday at noon. The Minnesota women are playing Ohio State next door. The Gophers beat the Buckeyes last night. Wisconsin has it. Well, actually, that loss by Ohio State and Wisconsin's 2 points in Duluth, that eliminated the Buckeyes from WCHA regular season championship contention. As far as the Big Ten standings are concerned, Michigan State beat Ohio State last night in Columbus 4-1 as Trey Augustine stopped 22 shots. The Spartans in first place with 40 points, improving their overall record to 21-4-3. MSU 5 points better than second place Minnesota. Ohio State in third place with 28 points. Wisconsin alone in fourth with 24. That's because Michigan, which has 22 points, blew a two-goal lead and lost at home to Penn State 5-4. A Verona native J.J. Weebush had the game-winning goal for the Nittany Lions with 5 minutes left. Those two teams will square off again tonight at 6 o'clock Central at Yost Arena. And then we'll see Penn State next weekend at the Kohl Center, and it's kind of a beach theme next weekend. It's called Buckyville, from what I understand, right?
Yeah, that'd be Saturday night, especially for the students, but it's also a lot of Jimmy Buffett music if you're a fan of his.
Good with that, yep.
Expect to have a fun night, as Jimmy Buffett is known to do, and just that kind of atmosphere of his music, and hopefully some great atmosphere on the ice and in the building.
Yeah, so you can wear, you know, a swimsuit, maybe Hawaiian shirts, right?
Some beach sandals.
How about flippers? Can you wear those into the rink?
You know what? I don't know if a security will let that through or not.
Snorkel? Can you have goggles and a snorkel?
Sure, why not?
That'd be great. Come on, let's have some fun next Saturday night, Buckyville, the series finale against Penn State, a 6 o'clock face-off, Friday's game at 7 p.m. All right, let's get to the UW Health Sports Medicine injury update. Treating the Badgers, treating you, UW Health Sports Medicine. Cody Laskowski, the forward, will miss his fifth straight game with a lower body injury. And again, senior defenseman Daniel Lodge done for the season after hip surgery a couple of weeks ago. The quick trip lineups we're going to get to now for the Wisconsin Badgers and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And we'll start with Minnesota. Their head coach, Bob Motzko, in his 20th season overall, having spent time, of course, at St. Cloud State. Motzko with 432 wins, 269 losses, and 26 ties. His starting goaltender will be Liam Soulière, the transfer from Penn State, Montreal native. He's 9-4-1 this season, a 208 goals against average, a 924 save percentage. Starting defenseman Sam Renzel, the 6'5 sophomore from nearby Chanhassen, Minnesota, 9 goals, 25 points. His partner Luke Mittelstadt, the junior from Eden Prairie, 2 goals and 16 points. And Motzko will start his third line on his line chart from left to right. Senior Aaron Hughlin from Roseau, 5 goals, 14 points. The middleman is Jimmy Clark, sophomore from Edina, 4 goals, 14 points. The right winger from Byron, Minnesota, Brody Lamb, New York Rangers draft choice, 13 goals and 20 points for him. The Zimmer, Paulson, Snuggerud line are listed second on the line chart. Number one for Minnesota has Connor Kurth, Oliver Moore, and Matthew Matthew Wood left to right. All three highly drafted players. Kurth with 11 goals, 28 points. Moore, 6 goals, 20 points. 9 goals and 27 points for Wood, a first-round pick of Nashville. He spent 2 years at UConn. For the Wisconsin Badgers, in goal, it'll be Tommy Scarfone. Scarfone, the senior from Montreal. He's 9-9-3 this season, a .244 goals against average, and a .906 save percentage with 3 shutouts. The starting defenseman for the Badgers, number 14, Joe Polatichuk, sophomore from Cottage Grove. He has a couple of assists in 18 games. And Anthony Kerr, fifth year from Winnipeg. He has 10 assists this season, playing in his 157th game. And the starting forward line for Wisconsin, left to right, Tyson Dick, the junior from Abbotsford, British Columbia. 3 goals and 10 points for Dick, a career high in points for the young man. Christian Fitzgerald, the junior from Coquitlam, British Columbia. 6 goals, 14 points. He's the pivot man, playing in his 103rd game. And Kyle Kukkonen, the junior from Maple Grove, an Anaheim Ducks draft choice. 7 goals, 15 points. Mike Hastings brought him up in the pregame show. Kukkonen was good last night, producing 6 shots on goal. Love to see a couple of those get by Soulière here tonight.
Oh, for sure. And I love what he did, just starting the rushes up the ice yesterday. He played smart. Some of the dump-ins just got pucks on net to get whistles for Badgers to get offensive zone faceoff. So, yeah, I thought he played well, really well last night.
Yep, and the other forward lines for Wisconsin, Quinn Finley, 19 goals. Didn't score last night. Gavin Morrissey, the centerman, points in 10 of his last 11 games. And then Rylan Mosley, the fifth year from Arnprior, Ontario, 7 shots on goal last night. He converted 12 goals and 29 points. You know, he's the second leading scorer among transfers in NCAA Division I hockey. That was quite a pickup by Mike Hastings and his staff.
Yeah, he was outstanding in this month. In January, he was the leading scorer for Wisconsin, a couple goals and 10 assists in 7 games. And yeah, he's been absolutely a great complementary piece of the top line.
The third line for the Badgers, Simon Tassi on the right wing from Montreal. 2 goals, 4 points in the last 3 games. Owen Lindmark will center that.